Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we read it this morning. I think Arthur spoke about it a little bit just a few minutes ago. But when that cloud of the glory filled the temple, and it says, you know, the priest could not stand to minister. But God, and that, we saw this morning, that was the glory of the former temple. And as I was just sitting there a few minutes ago, just meditating on that, I began to realize, you see, that God said that the glory of the latter temple would be greater than that of the former temple. You see, in the former temple, the priests had to stand to minister. Their not being able to stand to minister was a very temporary thing. You know, when the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement went in to the most holy place, he could not sit down. In fact, he could not only not sit down, he had to keep moving. He couldn't even stand still. There was a little bell attached to his cloak so they would hear the bell ring, and if they knew the bell was still ringing, they knew he was still moving. There was also a rope attached to his ankle, because if he stopped moving and the bell stopped ringing and the noise, there was no longer any noise coming from there, they had to pull him out, because nobody could go in and get him. They had to pull him out. So don't become overly enamored with a temporary moving of the cloud that causes the priest not to be able to stand to minister, because the glory of the latter temple is a much greater glory. Because in the latter temple, you don't have to ever stand to minister. Everything we do, as I said this morning, is from a position of being seated. We don't even have to fight our way in. We don't even have to try and clean our way in. We've been invited in. We've been brought in. And not only that, we've been sat down right there in the very presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And everything that we do in ministry comes out of, if it's going to have an effect, if it's going to be supernatural, if it's going to have a positive impact and effect, a lasting positive impact and effect, it will come from that place of being seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Oh, hallelujah. You see, sometimes we neglect to give God the glory for what we already have. And that's why we miss it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, sin and faith are opposites. You can't be in faith and sin at the same time. Sin, very simply put, is just disobedience to that which God has said. That's where the first sin came from. That's where sin originated. It originated out of disobedience to what God had said. Somebody help me. You know, if you want to find the root of something, you've got to go back to the beginning. You don't try and figure it out from the middle somewhere. Sin, very simply, is disobedience to what God has said. And what God says always has life attached to it. Always, say always. Always has life attached to it. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. Please don't go after God for that at another time when the priest can't stand to minister. When I was first came into Pentecostal church, you know, you would hear things like, oh, what a meeting we had tonight, it was so good the pastor didn't get to preach. So I thought that sounded good. I thought, oh yeah, amen. I want to tell you, everything that God does, he does on the back of what he says. Every time the pastor doesn't get to preach, there's a missed opportunity for God to do something that he can't do until somebody says what he's saying first. You can go round and round the same old mountain as many times as you like, and all you'll get is dizzy. You might feel a bit spiritual after that, but that's... Some folks, that's all they do. They just go round and round the same old mountain. They get dizzy and they think they're in the spirit. You're not in the spirit, you're just dizzy. You need to be able to discern the difference. Hallelujah. Before God does something, he always says something. If he doesn't get an opportunity to say something, how's he going to do something? That was just a wee bonus for you. Since I left you, in fact, I mentioned this morning, I know we still haven't finished that Freedom series, and And since I left here today, in the afternoon, I'm saying, Lord, and I was meditating on both messages, and I just realized, hey, they're interrelated anyhow. And I just felt myself really being led, and still, even before I stood up here, I wasn't entirely sure where we were going and what God was wanting to say this tonight, but I'm going with the freedom message. You know, every message is a freedom message. It is for freedom that Christ has made us free. One translation that says, Christ made us free, stay that way. Do not get chained all over again in the law and its kind of religious worship. It's a few weeks since we looked at part 8 of this series, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm wrong, I'll have to go back and change the numbers, but what does that matter? We began to look at Luke chapter 15. That story, that account that Jesus gave from verses 11 to 32 is an account that Jesus gave recorded there. And I began to speak about how it was a lesson in operating in the authority of heaven. Or not. Because authority is always related to responsibility, isn't it? Are we taking responsibility for the prophetic word that God has given us, that 2014 will be a year of greater glory, a year of greater manifestation of His presence and of His glory, a year of extension, of expansion, of intensification of the manifested presence of God? Remember, it's not that God is going to get any greater. He's already the greatest. But we can have a greater experience of His glory. Amen. Hallelujah. But if we're going to do that, we're going to have to take responsibility and ownership of that word. Because as I said, sin and faith, well, that's that. You'll either go with sin or you'll go with faith. If you go with sin, you'll miss it. And if you go with faith, you'll experience it. Hallelujah. We looked at just one aspect, if I remember, the last time we looked at this, and I want to move on to the next, because it was after I left the last time that I got the next. It kind of went in between one and two, and now two became three, and hallelujah. But what I said the last time was this, that the thing we were to remember, that our inheritance will always have to be asked for and received while our Father is still alive. Yeah. Our Father's not about to die, and then we're going to receive our inheritance. So if we're going to receive our inheritance, see, in our thinking, in our mixed up thinking, we think, oh, it's awful what that boy did. Jesus never once said it was a bad thing that He did. No once. In fact, it says in Psalm 2, ask for the nations for your inheritance, and I will give them to you. Amen. Our Father's will is always a living will. Come on, we used to sing to our kids, God's not dead. No, He is alive. Come on. And He's never going to die. So if we're going to have our inheritance, we're going to have to ask for it while He's still alive. Sometimes our natural minds are offended by what that young man did, but Jesus never said there was anything wrong with what he did. Go back and check it for yourself. Anyway, I want to move on to the next part. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where am I? I want to remind you of something. You probably said, I've heard this 1,000 times. Well, here's 1,001. So I want us to really take ownership of what God is speaking and saying to us at this time as a church, as a body. The Lord said this, I am not building a ministry through you. I want you to hear this, because it's really, this account that Jesus gave, I believe, just applies to this so much of what God has said. We need to take hold of it. He says, I am not building a ministry through you. Who knows that's the goal of most people, to build a successful ministry? I believe that's what was in the young man's heart. I'm going to take my inheritance, I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to impress Daddy. I'm going to show him that I can do it. About time I had my chance. About time I got my shot at it. The goal of most people, most Christians, most believers is to build a successful ministry. But the Lord said to us, I'm not building a ministry through you. He said this. He said, I am building a message in you, and out of the message, the ministry will come. Do you believe it will come to pass as the Lord said, or do you think it will happen some other way? Because I believe if you take a hold of it as the Lord said it, you will see it. If you think it's going to happen some other way, you will miss it. Take a little time to meditate on this. I believe you will see that that is the pattern that was set by Jesus. Jesus didn't just appear on the scene. Even when he was 12 years old, when he had an opportunity, he didn't launch his ministry. For 30 years, the message that he was the Word of God in the flesh, but for 30 years, that message was being built in him. And that message was tested after he was baptized in the River Jordan and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then that, immediately from that point, went into a time of testing and the message was tested. You know, manufacturers that come up with some new gadget and don't test it before they release it can end up in a lot of trouble. And the Lord has said to us, mercifully, he has said, "I am not building a ministry through you. I'm building a message in you. And out of the message, the ministry will come." Jesus was tested. The message, come on, I want you to hear this because it's vitally important you get it in the right order, because God is a God of order. And if you get out of order, you miss the glory. It's just the way it is. The message was tested and the message was proved. And from that point, the ministry was launched. Out of the message, the ministry came. Do you understand that? It's God's pattern. God says in his word that he does, he likes to do things according to a pattern. He said to Moses, "When you build the tabernacle, I want you to build it according to the pattern. According to the plan." Everything that God does, he does it according to a pattern that is based upon his principles and determined by his purpose. So here we are, folks, in 2014, a year of greater glory. And the Lord says, he says that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. So his purpose, come on, let's get a hold of his purpose. Everything he does is for a purpose. So his purpose is for there to be a house with greater glory. And so there must be principles in his word that will reveal to us the pattern or the plan that we should follow in order that his purpose be fulfilled. And I believe that there's a pattern that is revealed, and I believe that there are principles contained in this account that Jesus gave that can help us. Because I believe with all of my heart that when the Father and the Son were reconciled, when the Son was restored to his place and his position in the Father's house, that there was a greater glory in that latter house than was in the house formerly. Can anybody shout amen? The second thing I want us to take hold of out of what Jesus taught us in this account is that there is nothing wrong with leaving home if you take what you learned at home with you. There's nothing wrong with leaving home if you take what you learned at home with you. As I said before, Jesus never once said that what this young man did was wrong in asking for his inheritance. He didn't even say that he was wrong in leaving home. It's what he did with his inheritance that was wrong. Who knows that a lot of teenagers long to leave home? A lot of teenagers, that's their burning ambition, is to leave home and to get free from all of the constraints of parental authority. But that's not a godly attitude. I think I mentioned that last time. You know, the church is full of teenagers. That's why there's so little of a continuation and an increase and a growth and a multiplication of the glory. Teenagers get a wee bit of the glory, then they run off with it. "Ooh, look what I got. Wait, you see what I can do with this?" See, while it's right and while it's proper and while it's part of the natural process for our children to leave home and begin a home of their own, the Lord says this. In fact, he said that the Scripture tells us this, that this is the first commandment with a promise attached to it. And what is the promise that's attached to it? It says that if you honour your father and your mother, your days will be long in the earth. What you've got will last. What you've got will endure. What you have got will stand the test of time. and it will not fail you. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord says we should honor our father and our mother. And part of that honoring, I believe, is taking the good that we learned at home and perpetuating it in our new home. That's what keeps us connected. It's not that, bye-bye, I'm out of here. Good riddance. Watch what I can do. See me. See, it's honor that keeps us connected to favor. The message of the Word of God is you sow honor and you will reap favor. In the way, I could point to several people and say, well, that's been a spiritual father in my life. But when it comes to this message that burns inside me now, the fullness of this message, but I lack, in some respects, spiritual fathers that I really have a strong relationship with. And so because of that vacuum, if you like, Paul was a bit like that, because the Lord took him aside and said, I'm going to teach you, Paul. Now, the fact that Paul couldn't point to many people as his spiritual fathers, he still told people to look to him as a spiritual father. But God said to me many years ago, he said, I want you to begin to honor Kenneth Copeland as a spiritual father in the Message of Faith. You know, you never met him. Sat in one of his conferences, or two, maybe one, I think. But he said, honor him as someone who paid a high price to maintain the integrity of that message of faith. Just honor him. Mention his name. I discovered it wasn't always popular to do so. I discovered that sometimes all hell could be let loose against you from the church when you mention that name. But I'll keep doing it because God said to do it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Done it again. I want to tell you, if I hadn't done that, I would have never have found this. That was a confirmation to me that what the Lord had said to us was absolutely bang on and absolutely right, because Jerry Savelle just happens to be a spiritual son of Kenneth Copeland. See, the young man in the account that Jesus gave, he'd abandoned everything that he learned at home and ran out there and wasted his inheritance. The Bible says in reckless, and then Amplified Bible, it says reckless and loose from restraint living. Oh, look at me now. I'm free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stay that way. Real freedom. There's a way that seems right to a man and you think it's freedom, and it's not freedom at all. It's just more bondage. Hey, I said, I think the last time, I said, this is a kind of housekeeping message, you know what I'm saying? We're talking about the glory of the house. We're talking about not just maintaining the glory of the house, we're talking about increasing the glory of the house. Hallelujah. It wasn't until much later that young man remembered that his father's character, he began to remember the generous way in which his father ordered his house. He thought, even the servants in my father's house have way much more than I've left with now here in this place. Serving some alien person in a far country, left out there feeding the pigs. Nothing on the menu but pig food. Even my father's servants are way better off than that. See, in James chapter 4, we're told that we don't have because we don't ask. And then it goes on and it says that sometimes we do ask and we don't receive, and it's because we asked amiss. Because we asked with the intention of spending what we got on our own pleasures and basically doing our own thing. You know, I was just thinking about this morning, you know, I was driving over here today, but you know, in Proverbs 10:22, the Word of God says that the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. And yet 1 Timothy 6:10 says that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It says that greediness can cause someone to stray from the faith and to be pierced through with many sorrows. So does the Word of God contradict itself? Absolutely not. You see, we don't give because we have a lot of money in the bank. We give because we're blessed. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich regardless of how much money you got. We're not generous because we have lots of money. We're generous because we're blessed. See, the people who wait until they're rich before they're generous, They'll never be rich. I want to tell you, if you can't be generous when you've got very little, you certainly won't be generous when you have a lot, because it'll never be enough. Just a little bit more. The richest man in the world was this. How much do you think you really need? He said, just a little bit more. How much is enough? Just a wee bit more. We're not generous because we have lots of money in the bank. We're generous because we're blessed. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and it adds no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. We don't give with one hand and try and get it back with the other. We're not giving with tears. Some people say, give until it hurts. I said, if it hurts, don't give. You ain't got the revelation. If it hurts you to give, keep it. Hang on to it until you get the revelation, then give it. Hallelujah. God's not the author of hurt in anybody's life, including the hurt that could be attached to giving if you haven't got the revelation yet. Come on. God's not in the hurting business. He's in the healing business. And when you get healed, you'll give, not because you've necessarily got a whole lot of money, but you'll give because you're blessed. Hallelujah. Because blessed people just let the blessing flow. Hallelujah. They stay in the cycle of blessing. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Those who understand the blessing of the Lord, they know that it makes them rich regardless of how much or how little they appear to have. Amen. See, a little is a lot when it's given in the kingdom. That's that wee fellow who gave his pack once to Jesus about that, when you get to meet him. Amen. Hunt him down in heaven and say, hey, what was it like bringing your lunch?
I give this, I'll be done that for me. Oh, I've got all these people. Oh, no, you just get
it. Hallelujah. Maybe there's somebody else there with one hidden under a rock somewhere. I'm sure there was a few wee boys there. There was a few mammies that packed a lunch for them. Because that's what mammies do, isn't it? But no, the disciples found one wee boy. He said, I'll give my lunch. I'll give my lunch. They discovered that a little goes a long way in the kingdom. That a little becomes a lot. Not even, it doesn't just become enough. It's always more than enough. It's always more than enough. Haven't you been saved more than 5 minutes and not discovered that the Lord always has more than enough? Come on. Everything. No matter what it is. Hallelujah. You see, when we're saved, when we're born again from above, we're added to the church. It's not a decision you make. Your decision is to follow Jesus. And immediately he says, follow me. Well, first thing I'm going to do with you, my friend, is add you to the church. Boom, done. That's it. You can fuss with that, argue with that. You can try and find some other way. But that's what he does with you. It's according to the word of God. The minute you're born again, you're added to the church. You can say, well, of course I'm added to the church. You know, the church is the universal church. Yeah, well, that's a cop-out. That's absolutely true. But don't stop there. There's not one epistle, there's not one letter that Paul wrote to the universal church. You know that. He wrote it to an individual church, then he said, pass it on, spread it around. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, God speaks to this church. And he expects us to take the message that he speaks to us. He said, I'm building a message in you. And out of the message, the ministry will come. Don't short circuit it by running off and trying to start a ministry. Glory. Come on, let's have a laughing break. Just in case you find this a bit hard and heavy and stuff, you know. I'm going to tickle that person. Well, just tickle yourself. That might be safer. Hallelujah. Don't want anything manifest in anybody else around that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We're added to the church, which is the house of God. We discover we have a spiritual home, a local house where we can be nurtured and discipled. Who knows that Jesus wasn't averse to folks just hanging around with him? Jesus never said to anybody that was hanging around with him, what are you doing here? Never. But as soon as it came out of their own mouths, I want to be your disciple, I want to follow you, then he would be pretty open with them what the cost of that was. Amen. Maybe touching that maybe a little bit next week, next Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Remember that time when just after the wee boy had shared his lunch. And Jesus begins to teach him, and he says, I think it's time to treat these guys a little bit deeper. And he begins to speak to them about his body and his blood, and how if they don't eat his body and drink his blood, they have no part of him. And lots of folks who thought it was a really cool thing to get a free lunch, lots of people who thought it was a really cool thing to be part of a miracle, a miraculous feeding of thousands of people from a little lunch, when they begin to hear this, they go, oh, wait a minute. What kind of strange word is this? And it says at that point, many of those who were hanging out with him took off. Until basically all that was left was the 12, and he turns to the 12 and he says, what about you guys? Do you want to go too? And Peter, good old Peter, who could hear from God, who could hear from the Spirit, who knew how to come out of his spirit, says, where else can we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. God says, I'm speaking a message into you. Well, that guy Donnie Stewart, whoa, man, what message he's got. Donnie Stewart's just a mouth. Some of you say they're a bigger one than some. Sometimes he's just a big mouth. You know, see, if you don't honor the prophet, Jesus said, then you lose the prophet's reward. You know what the prophet's reward is? What he says coming to pass. That's it. That's the only reward the prophet looks for. Sometimes you say something, you're like, Lord, you've got to come and do that. Amen. That's the prophet's reward. And if you do not honor the prophet, you lose the prophet's reward, which is seeing what he said come to pass. He's just the mouthpiece of God. But God says, people say, and I've heard it, I've said it myself. Well, never mind me. Don't bother about me. Just listen to what God is saying. No, God says, honor the prophet and you'll get the prophet's reward. Hallelujah. We need another laughing break. Woo! Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you know why it's Jesus? Not Jesus me. Jesus I. Hallelujah. Just a wee reminder for us. You see, when it's time for us to leave, when it's time for the ministry to come out of the message, then we should take the nature and the culture and the ethos of the house that we were raised in with us. Hallelujah. See, one of the scriptures that really goes off in me is when it says that Abraham went down and rescued Lot and the kings of Sodom with the 318 trained servants who had been trained and brought up in his own house. Hallelujah. Talk about the SAS. They don't come close. Come on. That was. Hallelujah. Lord spoke to me many years ago. He said, I want you to recruit. But I'm talking 20-odd years ago, recruit people for the SAS. The saved and the sanctified. Lord would know that they've been set apart by God for God. To be a fulfillment of his purpose according to his plan based upon his principles. Hallelujah. God's stormtroopers, they don't take very many of them to go into a situation and pull down the strongholds and rescue the perishing. Hallelujah. And bring them back to the house. See, the training that we receive in our house should be the foundation for the ministry that we engage in. And our view, our vision is to extend. What does greater mean? Extend, expand, increase, intensify, that we may engage in that ministry with a vision that includes extending the influence of our house by establishing new houses that are true to that training. That's discipleship. How about that'll be a laugh, because I think you might need one. Every house needs a foundation, folks. I tell you, we won't be able to. We'll lose all the glory we get unless the foundation's in place. Everything that goes up will just come crashing down like it has 100 times before. Hallelujah. This foundation's not laid, so just hang in there. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said to Timothy, I want you to take the words, the same words that you have heard me speak in the presence of many witnesses. I want you to take these same words and pass them on to other faithful men who will be able to teach others. He just took care of three generations of every church that he established. Come on, somebody help me. He said, the same words that you heard me speak, I want you to take. But he said concerning Timothy in another place, he said, I have nobody like Timothy. There's no one who's taken on board the message that God put in me that I've passed on to others like Timothy. He knew that if he went down to the church that Timothy was pastoring, that the glory to God, it would be running just the way he had said it should. Hallelujah. Come on. He said, I want you to take the same words, pass them on to other faithful men who will be able to teach others. I want the church to continue as a house that God can fill with his glory. That can be a place of the increase, where the glory can increase. See, Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy. He wrote, my son Timothy, he had nothing to do with him genetically, but yet, glory to God, he passed on the DNA of God that he had in him into Timothy. Hallelujah. He was looking out for his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. Scripture says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I don't mind anybody hanging around here, but I'll tell you who I have a real heart for. The people who I know are taking the message. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Come on. That's what I'm looking for. God's looking for that. He said his eye scans the whole earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely his, who are saying, yes, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. Six times, I believe it is, in Psalm 119, it talks about the whole heart. The whole heart taking hold of his commandments, his statutes, and many other different words that are used in relation to his word. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit next Sunday morning. See, the heart of every father. Why is my heart like that? I'll tell you why my heart, because God's heart's like that. My heart's just a tiny little fraction of God's heart. But I've got a prophetic word up on my wall in my office, glory to God, that's spoken to me through Mary McLeod a good number of years ago. And sometimes I go back and just read it again. The Father says that I've put my heart in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I look around. And I look to see the people who are taking hold of the message. Who recognize that what God said. See what God said. He said, I'm not building a ministry through you. The impatient are looking for the ministry. But God says, it's the message. Out of the message, the ministry, just like Jesus said. Mary's watching him. Come on. I'm sure she had a few prayer times with the Lord. Come on. He said, come on. 30 years. 24 years we've been waiting. A wee tiny glimpse at 12, come on. Especially mothers, you know what I'm saying, pushing their boy. He's 7 now, he must be ready, come on. Perfect number. He hasn't sinned once, come on, he's 7, hasn't sinned once, he must be ready now. Come on, let him out there, let him go, release him, kapoon. She even pushed him before it was time, you know that. That's a mother for you. Come on, they went down that wedding. And all of a sudden the glory's been revealed and it wasn't actually the time. Because he's still honouring his mother. Hallelujah. Because in honouring his mother, he was honouring his heavenly father. Hallelujah. Come on. The heart of every father is for their sons to become fathers. And for their sons' sons to become fathers. You know, when your children begin to grow and you get to release them, what are you looking for then? You're looking for your grandchildren. In today's world, with all the different means of preventing that, glory to God, you'd wait a long time. I want to tell you, contraception's in the church. I'm not talking about that kind. I'm talking about a soulish kind. There's all kinds of barrier methods being used by God's people to stop the seed from doing what the seed does, to stop the word getting into the place where it begins to do the business. The seed of His word. Come on. I'm talking to an adult audience. Come on. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I've really enjoyed. I've been blessed by watching my son taking his role as a father. And you know, the incredible thing is that even though he is never father himself, he's still my son and I'm still his father. Our relationship hasn't changed. Even though he's a father now, he's still my son and I'm still his father. Isn't that awesome? See, many in the church have failed to honor their spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. And I believe it's because of an irrational fear that would somehow limit their advancement into maturity. I said before, that's just a teenage and adolescent misconception. And I believe it's led many people into all kinds of unnecessary trouble. You see, 1 John chapter 2 reveals three stages of the maturing process in the life of a believer. It refers to children, to young men, and to fathers. 1 John chapter 2 verses 12 to 14 says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. Hallelujah. Do you notice that? I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. You see, it's our Heavenly Father's desire for all of us to reach that place of maturity as fathers. See, the fathers are fully persuaded concerning who He is. They're fully persuaded concerning who He is and all of the fullness of His role as our Father. That's the message that God wants established in us before we take off. I believe God is saying this is a year of greater growth. This is a time of extension, a time of expansion. I'm looking around saying, who are the fathers who will establish a house in another place that carries the character, the culture, the ethos, the vision, the message of this house? Where are they? I'm looking for them. I'm looking for them because God's looking for them. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, you went to church 10, you'll find a house there, glory to God, that doesn't do things the same way we do them necessarily, but the message is right there. You won't find another message. You won't find a corruption or a perversion or a diluted message there. You'll find the same message. Hallelujah. Why? Because someone took the message of this house over there. Hallelujah. I believe it was prophetic because they went to the opposite end of the county. Hallelujah. Here we are in one extreme of the western extreme of the county, the old county of Ross and Cromarty, blessed be the name of the Lord, and there they are in Tain on the other extreme end of that county. And God says, I want to fill everything in between and the rest. Hallelujah. With the message. But it's the message that's important. It's not running out here, there, everywhere, just with a wee bit of this and a wee bit of that. You know, you take the message, and that's what we establish. We establish a house. What are homeless people looking for? They're looking for a home. They're looking for a house. God takes it, it says in the Psalms, God takes the solitary and He places them in families, because He designed that. That's His order. That's the way that's His pattern. That's His pattern. Hallelujah. That's why, folks, I go visit other places, but I want to tell you, there's no place like home. Amen. I was talking to someone very recently who's just spent a few days living a millionaire lifestyle, really. Been visiting folks and been taken around and taking places and living in luxury. But a couple of days ago, they came home to the wee button bend and put the fire on and sat down, and the family looked at each other and said, there's no place like home. Glory to God. Because it's where you belong. Somebody help me, come on. I like to visit other people's houses. I like to sometimes see how they do things maybe a bit differently and experience all these things. But there's no place like home. Hallelujah. Where God established you. Where God said, look around you. This is your family. Hallelujah. He longs for us to know Him as the one who's always good. The one whose love never fails. I want to tell you, see, in this house, those who have a hold of the message that God's been giving us, they'll tell you, God wants to save everybody. They won't be argued away from that. God wants to heal everybody. They won't be argued away from that. God wants to deliver everybody. They won't be argued away from that. God wants to prosper everybody. They won't be argued away from that. They're unarguable away from that because they've come through these places of maturity, glory to God, and they know Him who is. They know Him who is. From the beginning, those who come to God must believe that He is. That's just, you're just acknowledging that He is, I am. That He's everything that He says He is. When you say He is, He says, that's right, I am. When I say He is, I'm just telling you what I've already acknowledged in my personal relationship. When I say to Him, you are my healer. You are my deliverer. You are my savior. You are my provider. Now I can testify up here and say, He is my healer, my savior, my healer. He is my deliverer. He is my provider. Not just enough, more than enough in every situation and circumstance. You're going to move me from that. You're going to fuss and cuss me out of that. Hallelujah. Because I know who He is. Because I know that He is who He says He is. I'm just, come on. I'm just acknowledging. Lord, I didn't dream it up. I didn't think it up. I didn't, come on. Put that stuff together. I'm just passing on what He says He is. And I'm telling you, He's true to His word. He's true to His confession. He's absolutely who He says He is. I guarantee it. Glory to God. That's the message of this house. Hallelujah. It's a simple message. It's a very simple message. But we don't fuss. You know, and I don't go to other people's houses and try and get them to be like my house. But when they come to my house, I expect them to honor my house. And I honor their house. Glory to God. I might visit somebody else's house, but I'm not there unless they invite me to say, well, I've been to your house, it's kind of different. Would you like to share with us why it's different? Because some of the things seem to be a bit better than this house. Can you tell us? Then that's fine. But otherwise, you just, glory to God. Hope one day they'll come to your house. Amen. Leave the door open. Don't mind me hanging around. Stay as long as you like. Glory to God. But as soon as you say, I want to be part of this, then you're going to be told the cost. Hallelujah. It's not nothing heavy, you know. Have a wee laughing break. Come on. You say, well, this is how we live in this house. We just simply believe that God is. So if somebody comes through that door, don't be sitting down telling them that what they're saying is a load of bogus, bogus and rubbish. If that's what you think, then bye bye. You don't need us. We certainly don't need you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Here's a fiver for your bus fare. Come on. Amen. And I tell you, glory to God, if somebody comes out of my house and amongst my kids and one of them starts bad-mouthing me in front of my kids are going to tell me, shut their face. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a bus at the top of the road. Amen. That way what was Paul doing with Timothy? He was protecting the integrity of the message. Why was he doing that? Because he was protecting the ministry that would come out of that message. Amen. That everyone would hear that God loved them and wanted to save them and to heal them and to deliver them and to prosper them and to reveal His glory in them. Hallelujah. I already see the greater glory in my children. Because every one of them, as I said before, drives a better car than I do. Hallelujah. You know, does that make me upset? No, that pleases me greatly. Hallelujah. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. He didn't have insecurity on the inside of Him. He didn't feel threatened by the fact that we might do greater works than He did. We just might be here a lot longer than He was. And anyhow, the greater works will be done the same way as they were done in him. It's the Father who does the works. Hallelujah. That's why we don't have to get out there and stand up to minister, because we minister from a place of rest. Hallelujah. We minister from the place that we've been seated in, at the right hand of the Father. Come on. Jesus is there as our intercessor. He said, you can ask too. He said, you can ask the Father anything in my name and it will be done, because it will pass through me and I'll pass it on to him and it will be done. Because it's the Father who does the works. Hallelujah. He longs for us to know him as the one who's always good, the one whose love never fails and whose faithfulness continues to all generations. I didn't think that up, that's straight out of the Word of God. See, the tragic thing about this parable, this story, this account that Jesus gave, was that by becoming disconnected from his Father's house, the younger son was also cutting off his offspring's inheritance. Come on. I've met people say, well, all you need to do is get them saved and then that's okay. I think, pardon? I beg your pardon? You mean you just get them saved and leave them to it? Is that what you really think? Well, you're out there with a flaky message. I've been some places there's more flake than there is in a Cadbury's factory. But everybody thinks it sounds good. It's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in death. Because you get someone born again and leave them to their own devices, and 9 out of 10 of them are going to die. Hopefully, well, the 1 out of 10, somebody will pick them up, take them somewhere, look after them. It doesn't matter where they go after they're born again. How often have you heard that? Well, I want to tell you, where you go determines what you hear. What you hear determines what you believe. What you believe determines how you will live, and how you live will determine where you end up. Does it still not matter? I tell you, it matters a lot. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want my children to know, even after they leave home, they can always come back. The door is always open to them. I knew a guy one time, he said, when I was 16, my father packed my bags and gave them to me and said, okay, that's you, I've had you for 16 years, on your own now. Showed him the door. Hallelujah. I want my children to know that, same as I knew, I could walk into my mother's house any time of the day or night, glory to God, go into any cupboard I was and take whatever was there. And she'd come down the stairs and say I hadn't taken enough. She'd try and lay some more on me. Come on! And I was married with 4 children at the time, glory to God. Hallelujah. She made my lunch the day she went to the glory. Come on! Made my lunch at lunchtime, and by night time she was off. Took her heavenly flight, she'd been talking about it long enough. All of a sudden her faith was realized. We tried to bring her back, but she was hanging on by both hands. Hey, we'd lost our mother. We weren't going to give up that easy. We went into that room in that hospital, blessed be the name of the Lord, rebuked death. She was saying, not a chance. Glory to God. She could still be here. I believe she could still be here. If she'd wanted to be. She'd only be 87 or something like that. Glory to God, just a spring chicken. But she was talking about it for 30 years, hallelujah. And her faith was realized. But that day she made my lunch. Glory to God, big plate. It was overflowing, man. You couldn't get any more in that plate if you tried. Layers of the stuff. Hallelujah. You got another laughing break before we finish? Are you getting the message here? The glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. I want to tell you, when we get a hold of God's plan and we begin to lay hold of his principles, because his plan is for us to operate in his principles that will be the fulfillment, that will lead to the fulfillment of his purpose. What's his purpose? That the latter house, the glory of the latter house, be greater than that of the former house. When we begin to get into God's order and begin to flow in God's order, the glory is going to intensify. Otherwise, we'll have another hiccup. Another glory hiccup. Come on. Do you want a breeze or do you want a force 10? What do you want? I tell you, it's important that we recognize that every house has its own culture. And And God's plan and purpose is for the culture of that house. See, I want us to be a kingdom house. I believe that's God's heart. I believe that's why he corrected that in us. I thought it was about ministry. I want to tell you, for years I thought it was about ministry. You try this, you try that, you try the next thing, you get a hold of this guy's method and that guy's method and the other guy's method. You discover that they worked for him because they weren't methods to them, they were the revelation of God to them. Some of them got a bit smart and started selling it like a method, you know what I'm saying? Got them on the circuit. But it failed because it was a method. God spoke to me one day and said, reject methods. Reject every movement. And make sure you lay hold of the mantle. Where do we hear about the mantle? We hear about the mantle when it's passed from the Father to the Son, from Elijah to Elisha. Elisha was a spiritual son to Elijah. Elijah was his father. He said, my Father, my Father! And the same anointing, a double portion of that anointing fell upon him. And they said, look, there's the God of Elijah. He's still with us. But now he's on Elisha. Yeah. Come on, somebody shout. Hallelujah. Somebody shout. Somebody get excited. We're talking about the greater glory. Yeah. We're talking about God's plan and pattern for the greater glory to be manifested. Yeah. Hallelujah. God's looking for a people who recognize that. Who take hold of that and say, yes, I want my house, my home to be an outpost. An embassy. A place that people can come and hear. Not some half-hearted, half-baked message. Not some he does, some he doesn't. No, but they'll hear with full assurance that there's a God in heaven who loves them. He wants to save them. And to heal them. And to deliver them. And somebody who wants to fuss with that and argue with that and cuss about it. Say, well, come back when you're ready. But right now, I don't think it's doing anybody any good for you to be here. I tell you, if I've had some people living in my house that some people said I shouldn't have had living there. But I want to tell you, if I ever thought that they were having a negative influence on my children, I would have showed them the door. That's what I based it on. That's what I based my hospitality towards them. And some people came, I tell you, some people said, what are you doing with that person in your house? I want to tell you, some of them were the biggest blessings we ever had. But other people, blah, 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 blah. If I ever thought that they were having a negative influence, if I ever thought they were sowing seeds of dissension or anything else in my home, I would have had to show them the door. Yeah. Glory to God. And I'll do the same in the church. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because we have a responsibility, and every one of us has that responsibility to maintain the integrity of the message that God said he's building in us. Hallelujah. We're taking a responsibility. Seriously, I'm not talking about people that don't get it yet or don't understand it yet or ask questions. That's fine. That's great. And you've got to be able to discern when some people are like, well, I'm not sure about this. That's okay. I'm not sure it's not, this is a lot of rubbish. Yeah. That's okay, maybe the first time you hear it or the second time or the third. You need to be able to discern. See, I'm not talking about legalistic, religious boundaries and lines. I'm just talking about in the realm of the Spirit. As I said, if you can't reach people with love, then they can't be reached. You're trying to bring them the message of God's love. Why would, if God loves you, why would he not want to heal you? Why would he, if God is love, surely he wants to save everybody. Surely he does want to heal everybody and deliver everybody and prosper everybody. That's love. That's what love does. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm just going to finish. See, I believe it's time. We had a prophetic word. No, I'll just pass on that. I believe it's time to establish new houses in our communities and beyond. Whether it's house groups, home groups, or whether it's new works, new Sunday morning and evening churches. Glory to God. I haven't got the full revelation on that yet. I'm still listening. But I believe God wants to get out even just midweek places where people can come. Houses where people can come and that they carry the culture of this house. Hallelujah. Otherwise, it's hit and miss. Otherwise, it's disconnected. Anything that gets disconnected from the Father's heart and the Father's house will eventually run out of steam, just like the boy did. He had a ball for a wee while. To all intents and purposes, he looked like he was doing good for a while. But it fell apart. Thank God for the conviction that rose in his heart. Hang on a minute. If I can just get back to my father's house, maybe things will be, I know things will be better there. I know he had a bit of a religious confusion about the whole thing. And that's why when the father saw him coming, he ran towards him. He didn't let him get up. His prayer was getting religious enough as it was. He didn't want him adding any more lines to it. That prayer had been rehearsed and didn't want it any longer than it already was. And he got hold of him and he brought him in. I want to tell you, when that boy was back and restored, when he was in his place, the glory of that, you ask the servants, Halabo Shakaba. They had a party that night like they'd never had before. Glory to God. The glory of the latter house was much greater than it had ever been before the boy left. Hallelujah. It's time to establish new houses, because that's what mature sons do. They take the culture, the ethos of the house, and they take it out and they start a new house. Hallelujah. It's an extension. It's the next generation. What do you mean a house? Well, I said we're a house because we're a family. We're a house because we are a house, we have responsibilities. Because we're a house, we have many rooms with many functions. Because we are a house, we are raising future generations. Hallelujah. Do you want to see the latter house of greater glory? Do you really want to see it? So the Lord woke me up with the other day. Do you really want this? Do you recognize the cost attached to this? It's a cost that Jesus already paid. You see, so often, we don't like to ask. We'll just take what we get. And then we'll complain that we don't get enough. I don't know if that's a Scottish thing or an English thing or a British thing or just a Western thing or just a human thing. God says, ask. You do not have because you do not ask. And just like the wee boy in the story, he asked, but he asked amiss. He ran out and spent it on himself. And he discovered the folly of that. And he discovered the correction that's attached to that. Hallelujah. And he came back home, and the glory of the latter house was greater than the glory of the former house. Are you committed to, as I said this morning, reprioritizing, repositioning your life to follow the pattern that God's placed in his word, to apply the principles that he's placed in his word that will result in his purpose that he has prophesied in his word, that purpose being fulfilled? Do you still see the ministry as coming before the message? Or are you allowing the Holy Spirit to bring that very important, very powerful correction in your life? Our little grandchild's starting to say her first words. You know, what are the words that she's repeating? The words that she's heard. Words that she's heard over and over and over and over again in the first months of her life are now becoming words that she's speaking herself. Where did she learn these words? In her house. Hallelujah. So we go out with what we know. Amen? We just go out with what we know. We go out with that which makes sense. Hallelujah. And we speak it out. We tell people God loves you. That's all you've got a hold of so far. Like these little children that it speaks about in 1 John chapter 2. Or the young men who begin to realize, whoa, yeah, this is a powerful word. I mean, you can do some damage to the devil with this word. Go out and speak that word. Hallelujah. But if there's people that you recognize you don't have the answer for, bring them back to the house because the Father knows exactly what to say. Don't hit them with some mumbo jumbo. Don't hit them with some half-baked stuff you picked up in somebody else's house. Bring them back. Say, you need to come down to the house. Have a word with my dad. he'll tell you. He'll tell you. I'm not sure about that one, but come down. My dad will be able to tell you. Because he knows him who is from the beginning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you still see the ministry as coming before the message? Or are you expecting that it will come to pass in the order that the Lord has given us? Because I want to tell you, let's stand up together, folks. It is time for the greater glory. It's time for that extension, expansion, that intensification of the glory. As I said, this was a housekeeping message, but who knows, if nobody does the housekeeping, very quickly things get into a mess. Very quickly things become cluttered. Before you know it, you're tripping over something everywhere you go. Amen. Housekeeping's important. I want to tell you, if you don't think it's important, you need to go back and read the epistles down there. The letters that were left to us. They were told to be distributed among us, that we were encouraged to read. Because they're all about housekeeping. The house which is the church. The house of God which is the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your precious people here tonight. I thank you, Lord, you gave us a good laugh before this word. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask you, you just send us on our way with another one. Another wave of joy, another wave, Lord God, that will come to strengthen us, Lord, to recognize that everything that we do and everything that we say, we do out of the place of rest. Lord, that we never again have to stand to minister. But Lord, even every ministry that comes forth as a fruit of the message will come from the place of knowing that we're seated with Christ. Amen. In the heavenly places. That we have the ear of the high priest, that we have the ear of the intercessor. Lord, and all we have to do is look to him. Hallelujah. Not looking anywhere, looking away from everything else and every other distraction and diversion, and looking to him, the author and the finisher, the beginner and the accomplisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah.